All right. Well, good morning, everybody. All right, let's try that again. Good morning, everybody. So I hope everybody's doing well. Title of the message this morning, you can see up on the screen, I think. Yep. Waiting on God brings direction. This is the fourth title this week of this message as it evolved, changed, rearranged, and went in all kinds of different directions. And who knows what will happen while I'm talking. But waiting on God brings directions. Father, I ask that you just be with us this morning, Lord, that you would help us all to put on our Berean hats. Father, to examine the scriptures, to examine what you have to say, to examine your word, Father, to understand who you are. I pray, Father, that you would just open our hearts to your word, that everything I say that is of you would pierce our hearts, just like in Acts 2:37. But, Father, if it's not of you, I pray it falls on the floor before us, and that we would have no remembrance of it. We want your word in us, Father. We want to grow in you. We want to grow as a family. We want to grow individually. We want you. And the church said, amen. When I prepare for a message, I have a routine. I start on Mondays, and I start by praying and asking God for a prophetic word for the church. That's how I start, because I want the message to be prophetic. I don't want it to be something from me. I want it to be from God. I want it to be, as it says in Acts 2:42, the apostles' teaching. I'm not calling myself an apostle, so don't go there, but the apostolic word of the living God. And I want it to be something that he says. And as I prayed this week, I really felt that he said, wait on me. And at first I said, okay, I'm willing to do that. And he says, no, that's the message. Wait on me. And I said, sounds simple. You know, and I think most of us would say, you know, that's easy. I know that. I know I'm supposed to wait on God. I do that. But, okay, this is a conversation God and I is having. And if this applies to you, put the shoe on. If it doesn't apply to you, don't put the shoe on, okay? But I went, I do. And he goes, do you? You know, and when God says, do you, you kind of go, okay. I said, well, I wait on you. I said, are you really waiting on me? And I go, I think I am. And I just had the feeling he said, was saying to me, do you think there's room for improvement? How do you say no to that? Okay. No, God, you're wrong. I got it together. Leave me alone. And I think individually for me, and again, if the shoe fits, wear it. But I also believe corporately, as a church, to some degree or another, we can get better at waiting upon God. Some questions. Do we, and these are questions that I ask myself, do we really want a more intimate relationship with God? Do we really want the same type of relationship with each other? You guys are family. You know, you're my brothers and my sisters, and there's mothers and fathers in here, and sons and daughters. And I don't say that lightly. I don't say that because it's a cool thing to say. I say that because I mean it, and it's from my heart. And I thank God for the large family that I have. So I do want a relationship with you. Do I want to have a hot relationship with God or a que sera sera relationship with God? You know, which I guess que sera sera, you can almost say as it talks about in Revelation 3 to the church of Laodicea, I wish you were hot or cold, but because you were lukewarm, I spewed you out of my mouth, which has always interested me because he likes cold better than lukewarm. I haven't answered that one totally yet. Do we want to do God's will in our lives and in his house, in this place called fellowship? And as I say this, I'm having to answer those questions, but I believe God wants all of us to answer those questions. I think it's always good to look at ourselves and our lives with God and say, where am I? Am I where you want me to be? Am I pursuing you to the degree that you would have me pursue you? Are we doing that individually? Are we doing that collectively? Are we doing that in smaller groups? Are we doing that in big groups? Are we doing that as a family? I think it's always good to do that. It's not from a condemnation point of view, but as we've talked about, sanctification is the process of becoming more and more who we are in Christ. And so part of going through the sanctification process is going to be asking these questions, that we need to be honest with each other. I've had too many conversations in the past with people that said, I'm doing fine with God, I'm on cruise, everything's well, and life is good. I don't need anybody, I have God. Don't need church, don't need this, don't need that. And it puts fear in my heart for that person. Because I think we do need each other. I think we do need a more passionate, intimate relationship with God that's constantly growing. Like I said, it's important that we assess where we are individually and as a family. And if we want more, what do we need to do? We need to obtain directions from God. We need to go to Him and say, okay, how do I change? What do I need to change? What do we need to do? Is there a change coming? Is there going in a different direction and so forth, you know? And we do that. And if we don't wait on God, the truth is, at least for me, I may fall short of what He has for me. I may fall short of the blessings He has for me. I may fall short. Now, I always, you know me in the sovereign God, those who know me, I'm a big sovereign of God guy, sovereignty of God guy, that He can do whatever He wants to do whenever He wants to do it, okay? So I'm not selling that short. But I do believe we have a free will and we have a responsibility. And that we need to not do it our way, but we need to do it His way. I believe with all my heart that God is calling this church to increase our waiting upon Him. And there's a lot of it going on. I know individually you guys are, but in the words of Emerald, everybody here know who Emerald is? He's a chef. I think God wants to kick it up a notch. Okay? You can find that in Hezekiah 3:17 in the Old Testament. There is no Hezekiah. But I believe that God is calling us to increase. I mean, we have prayer. First Sunday of every month, we meet here at 6:30 and we pray. Every Wednesday morning, we meet next door at 7 o'clock, and those who can make it, pray. There's a group of intercessors in this church of 8 people that have come forward that are interceding for you, for me, for this church, for a greater move of God, for fresh outpouring, for special things that I feed them from time to time and other people may do. And I know that there's other people that gather. I know there's people that gather on Mondays and there's people that gather on Wednesday late morning and other people. And there's lots of prayer going on. But I think that God really wants us to increase our waiting on Him. But not in a word, only in the area of prayer. Here comes that four-letter word. But also in the area of fasting. And as I've talked to Terry about it, and we've prayed, as it says in the Bible, it seemed good to us in the Holy Spirit. So what we're going to do is in August sometime, and we haven't exactly decided which day, you know, we want to work around people's schedules and do different things and so forth, but we're going to start meeting once a month on Friday, evening at 7 o'clock. And at least once a quarter, it'll be a worship service, okay? And the other two, it'll be maybe just prayer, okay? And so we're going to do that. And it's for those who want more of God. And, and more of his directions, more of what he wants to do and how he wants to build this house. Because we want to follow Psalm 127:1, and that is that to let him build the house, because otherwise we know we labor in vain. I also want all that he has for you and for me and for us. I mean, think about it. When you go into a restaurant or you take a test or you see a police officer giving directions in traffic or you start a new job or you assemble a toy or a piece of furniture, what do? Well, if you're a man, you just jump in. If you're a woman, you look for the directions. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to look for the directions, to sit before him and wait for the directions on what he has for us, and then follow them. See, directions are important. And they're especially important from God. They're throughout the Bible, but there's also revelation that comes within the Bible and within the prophetic realm that God wants to speak to us more and more. And as we obtain God's will for our lives, families and individual, as a family and individually, that there's fruit. I mean, a couple of pieces of fruit, and I'm going to get into a bunch of them a little later. Isaiah 40:31 out of the ESV. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Matthew 11:30 out of the Christian Standard Bible. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So we ask ourselves these questions. Do we want his perfect will? Do we want to run and not be weary? Do we want to walk and not faint? Do we want to be like eagles? Do we want the yokes that we're carrying through life to be easy and not heavy? Do we want our burdens to be light and not heavy? Part of the answer is to wait upon God. See, we know God has plans for us. I don't think anybody, for me, I've always known God has plans for us. Now, I wish I could sit there and look all of you in the eye and say I've not been rebellious and I've not said no. Because unfortunately, I have. You know, when God asked me to start the church, I said no 3 times. And he still worked with me. Okay? Twice, actually. Yeah, twice. With the third meeting, I said okay. We know God has plans for us. I mean, he's given us, if you haven't looked at our website lately, look at it. He's given us a vision and mission statement to move in God and to do these things. He's given us guiding principles. He's given us a lot of prophecies. But I really believe that they're just part of what God's saying to us and wants to say to us. And as I've been praying, I believe that he told me that he's given us parts. And you're part of that parts and different things he said. But now he wants to give us more. He wants to add to us further directions and in other ways, I suppose. And simply put, with all I said so far, our call is to seek him, to wait upon him. You know, I've said this before. Remember, there was this big conference in Kansas City, and there was this big prophet there, and this is back in the early 70s, and everybody was there, and the prophet was on the platform, and you really couldn't see him, but you knew he was there by faith because it was in Arrowhead Stadium. And everybody was waiting for this great word to come from this big prophet of God. And finally, the time came, I think it was like on the second day, I don't know when it was. I wasn't there, I just heard the story. And he gets up and walks up to the microphone and everybody's quiet and a hush goes across. And he comes out with this really prophetic, deep, amazing prophecy. Seek me, says the Lord. Seek me. And that's what he wants. He wants us because he has so much for us. So what does it mean to wait on God? What's that word wait mean? Okay, you guys know I love the Webster's 1828 dictionary. I don't look at any of the newer ones. I don't like them. I don't like how they've been perverted. That's just me. If you like the 13th edition, God bless you. I don't. So Webster's 1828 dictionary defines wait this way: to stay or rest in expectation, to stop or remain stationary, till the arrival of some person or event. The Hebrew word that's used most of the time says to look for, to hope, to expect, there's that word again, to look eagerly for, not just to look for, but to look eagerly for, to lie in wait for, like a fox lying in wait for a prey. And then when you see it, then you spring and you grab it. To linger, to collect. The Greek word that's most commonly used means to receive to oneself, to give access to oneself. As we wait, we give access. We open up the door to receive one into discussion and companionship. And we open up the door and we walk into discussion with the living God and companionship with the living God. And then we accept the thing that he offers to us. And we can do it with expectation that it will occur, the fulfillment of promises. A great magazine that's out there is the Bibliotheca Sacra. And in volume 99, it says this, Christians are accordingly urged to wait on God for totality. Do you hear that? For totality. If you want to be total, it's to wait on God. In other words, waiting is defined as a way to obtain completeness. We must individually and as a family linger before him. That we need to lie in wait for him, to be like that fox waiting for him to come along so that when he walks by with those golden nuggets that we leap forth and we grab him and we grab his presence and that we're always looking for him and expecting to receive the fulfillment of the promises that God has made to us so that we can walk into our completeness, into our totality. See, we saw 2 weeks ago that horizontal relationships, being family, being in community, that we needed those because they fulfilled us. You know, remember the whole thing about where God said, it is not good for man to be alone. After he was being in the garden with God. And then God comes out and says, it's not good for man to be alone. Think about that for a couple of years. That waiting on God should be a normal part of Christianity. That it's really us. You know, we've talked about how God is sovereign and we have free will, and how we define the sovereignty of God and free will of man around here is like that. And if you can explain it any better, go for it. And if you want me to explain what that was, I can't. But they work together according to God's perfect design. But what we do when we wait upon God, then we are exercising our free will to pursue his sovereignty. Believers throughout the Bible did. I mean, think about Anna. Everybody knew Anna when she was hanging around in the synagogue. She got married at a young age, probably 14, 15, 16. That's what happened back in those days. Her husband passed away within a few years. And for 60-plus years, I complain about waiting on God for an hour, okay? 60-plus years, day and night, she was in the synagogue waiting upon God, ministering to him. 60-plus years. And then she saw Jesus face to face as a baby. Simeon was told he wouldn't see death until he saw his Savior. And he saw the baby when he was brought to the temple. David, Paul, Hannah, Priscilla. I mean, even Jesus waited upon God. Would go up into the mountain and spend all night waiting upon God, talking to his father, because he didn't want to say anything that his father wouldn't say, and he wouldn't want to do anything that his father wouldn't say. And yet he's God. Jesus is God. But he wouldn't do any of that. So Jesus waits upon God. So how do we wait upon God? It's really simple. Relax, bro. Relax, sis. Just wait upon him. Just sit there. Let him speak to you. Read the word a little bit. Say some words. Meditate on some things. Fast. But mostly listen. Mostly listen. If you look at my journal, almost every day you'll see these words. God, do you want to say anything to me today? And he does. He always says something, most of the time. But we need to rid our mind of the push-button mentality. You know, we have become a microwave society. If we don't get it in a few minutes, we get bored. If we don't get it in a few hours, forget it. You know, but he's not our personal butler. We can't, you know, those who watch the different shows on TV, what was it, Downton Abbey or this or that, you had all these butlers, or there's this other thing out there, The Crown, and they always had these butlers and different things, and whenever somebody just said a word, there they were. They're just like, he's not that. That's not who he is. We need to wait both quietly before him in meditation while crying out for his directions. Because the truth is, God is our victory, and he provides all our victories, which helps us to walk away from Satan and into all God has for us, to surrender our heart to him. See, we just need to be patient, to seek him, to position ourselves before him. I always say get a couple of notebooks. One, to write down all those thoughts that's going to go through your mind, like you need to write this check, you need to pay this bill, you need to go call this person, you need to, you know, that you never think of until, at least for me, I never think of until I sit down to pray and then all these things come through my mind. And I thank Satan for reminding me all these things I'm supposed to do, write them down. And then the other one is my journal. Be patient. Listen more than talking. Don't sulk when you don't have his presence immediately. Where's God at? He doesn't love me. Blah, blah, blah. If he really loved me, he'd be here speaking to me. No lies from the pit. He loves us. He adores us. He adopted us. Let him do whatever he chooses to do according to his own time frame. Trust him completely. He's trustable. There is nobody in your life, nobody, no two bodies in your life that you can trust more than God, individually and as a family here. For everything he has told us to do, he, in his word and prophetically, he's going to come to pass. He's going to bring it in his own time, though. One of the traps we fall into with prophecies, and I had this conversation kind of with a person not too long, when a person prophesies, I mean, it's happened to me, everything's cool, happened to me, I expect it to take place within the next 15 to 30 seconds. I'm still waiting for some things to come to pass. They've been prophesied over me. Some things have taken 14, 15 years to come to pass. God has a plan. We're just called to run the race set before us. And yes, I know it can be hard at times. It can be really hard at times. But the alternative is we might miss his directions. Again, yeah, he can intervene. He can do whatever. He'll get his will done. He'll get us there. But I'd rather do it in cooperation than with some of the ways he's had to get my attention in life. And for me, I'm going to wait, and I hope you join me. But there's all kinds of fruit. I already gave you two, but let me give you 20 more really quick, just in popcorn fashion. Bring salvation. Nobody ever became saved without waiting upon God. Psalm 62:1, for God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. John Wesley, everybody knows who he is. He started the Methodist Church, and he got involved with a group of Moravians over in Germany, in Moravia, and they were really into waiting upon God, and that so influenced him that he became a Christian. Number two, at the very least, you receive rest from a busy, busy life. And I know nobody here has a busy life. But you get rest when you wait upon him. That's the very least, if we're willing to wait. Three, as we wait upon God, we will receive his directions so we can do his will. Four, we will grow in relationship with God and with each other when we wait upon God. I've often had people or God tell me in times of waiting upon him to pray for so-and-so. And I would find out later that that person was going through an issue right there, and it was good that somebody was praying for him. It wasn't because of me, it was because of God. But as you wait upon God, he'll have you pray for people. And you'll hear testimonies, I promise you, how something miraculous happened, kind of what Michelle was talking about this morning with this testimony. We will grow in relationship with God and others. God's community and family will be properly formed. The kingdom and God's church will blossom. Check out Acts 2:42-47. There are a bunch of crazy people that just waited upon God. Put on your Berean hats. 7, the Holy Spirit comes to us and we become more empowered by him. 8, our faith increases. Romans 10:17, ESV. So faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. We grow in understanding of who we really are. There's this guy, a French Christian from the 1600s, Francois Fenelon, and I probably didn't pronounce it right. But anyway, he said this, do not be surprised to find yourself overly sensitive, impatient, proud, and self-willed. Doesn't apply to anybody but me, does it? Realize that this is your natural disposition, the flesh. Bear with yourself, but do not flatter yourself into thinking you are better than you are, but wait on God's timing to transform you. Stop at once when your activities become too hurried. Do not be eager, even for good things. The truth is, I can't change any of you. You guys can't change me. You can't change yourself. But if you wait upon God, you will be changed from glory to glory to glory to glory. My reborn again day happened in Kansas City, where I was crying out to God. I've been crying out to God for some stuff in my life. And just tormenting me. And all of a sudden, in the midst of a conference, the preacher started preaching, preached about 50 seconds, fell flat on his face. The Spirit of God went through. I ended up kneeling on concrete for 45 minutes in tears while God just changed my life. You don't know when it's going to happen, but if you seek him, it will happen. We grow in hope. We grow in grace for ourselves and others, also less judgmental. We learn how to deal with offenses, which could lead to broken relationships. You know how I say around here, if you stick around here long enough, you're going to get offended. Probably be me, okay? But what do? We never take revenge. We look at the log in our own eye first. We take every possible step to reconcile the relationship. And if reconciliation doesn't occur, we forgive the person anyway. 14, we're blessed. Proverbs 8:34 in the ESV, blessed is the one who listens to me. What's the opposite? Think about it. Watching daily, I would prefer monthly here, God, at my gates, waiting beside my doors. We grow in the fruit of the Spirit, 15, Galatians 5:22. But the Holy Spirit produces the kind of fruit in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. There is no law against these things. We grow in Revelation 16. George Mueller, who is an amazing man of God, had faith that was just amazing, would not preach until he waited upon God. He just wouldn't do it. And that's wanting to share what God, only what God shared to him prophetically. And that man has influenced me. Then that's why I start on Monday. I don't wait till Saturday morning. Because I only want to share what I believe with all my heart that God told me to share, prophetic. That's how we should do it. And as we wait upon God, as we interact with people, we'll have words for them, words of encouragement to encourage and strengthen. We become better servants. We become strengthened. Psalm 27:14 in the New King James Version. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. We are exalted, Psalm 37:34. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. I want it. I want the land. On you I wait all the day. We are led in his truth, Psalm 25:5. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Waiting. It's about waiting. As well as praying without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, which I think is an important part. If your prayer life isn't good, buy a motorcycle. My prayer life increased greatly as I go down the road on that Harley. I'm praying almost constantly. Why shouldn't we wait upon the Lord? When we receive all these things, we're not fulfilled. We are fulfilled and we're satisfied. We become who we are really created to be. The joy of the Lord is our strength, plus better relationships with God and each other. Getting to know this amazing God in a greater way, leading to a deeper and more intimate relationship with Him and each other. If we truly want to be fulfilled and satisfied, we got to wait upon God. That's just how it is. And we need to increase that so we become more fulfilled and we become more satisfied. And we walk more and more into what God says. And it's not there's no condemnation for where we are. Remember, it's about walking out and becoming more and more. Maturity is not reaching the end goal. I'm finally perfect. Well, sorry. That'll happen on the other side when you're pushing up daisies. Okay? But maturity is walking out the process and becoming more and more who we are, what we're called to do from beginning to end, during good times in our life and even the bad times. We've got to wait upon the Lord. We've got to pray. We've got to fast. We've got to read. We've got to seek Him so that the revelation of His Word pours into our heart more and more, so it burns there. It pours into our hearts. You know, I'm reading through the New Testament this year over and over. I'm on my, I think, the fourth time. And join me or read something. We need revelation in our hearts. Christianity is not just a mind thing. Yeah, we're called to renew our minds by getting into the Word. We're called to renew our minds in many different ways. But it's a heart thing, too. It's taking that new heart that's in Ezekiel 36 that God has given us. Is it 26 or 36? 36, 26 or 26, 36. One of the two. And massaging it. And causing it to grow. That's why we got to wait on the Lord continually. It's not, and again, it's not about laying out every detail. God, I want this. God, I want that. It's letting Him lay out the details. It's sitting there and going, God, here I am. Speak to me. What do you have to say to me? There's a guy named Old Hallsby. And in his classic book, Prayer, titled the book Prayer, he points to Mary, mother of Jesus, as a great example of how to wait upon the Lord without giving instructions. Remember the first miracle, he was invited. He and his mother and some of the apostles were invited to this wedding. And remember, they ran out of wine. And Mary goes to him. His mother says, we have no more wine. That's all she says. Doesn't say, make some. Doesn't say, go buy some. Doesn't say, what are you going to do about it? Just says, we have no more wine. And then she waited. And what did Jesus do? He produced wine. It blew the people away, because everybody knows that you give the better wine up front so that when people get drunk, they can't tell you're serving them the cheap wine. I'm not proposing people get drunk, okay? But the better came last. Do you see the message there? As you wait upon the law, the better comes. I can prophesy to each person here that as you wait upon the Lord, the greater parts of your life lay before you, that you haven't forfeited anything, that if there's anything within your little pea-picking hearts that says, I wish I would have done this, or I wish I would have done that, or I wish I would have done whatever for the Lord, He would say to you, seek me. The better part of your life is before you, and you have not forfeited anything. And I'm saying that as a prophetic word to each one of us. It's true. The result with Mary and the people at the wedding is they got more and better than they expected. See, we're to state our request and then just wait in peace. What's it saying in Philippians 4, 6, and 7 in the ESV? Do not be anxious about anything. Well, I wrestle with that one. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Whatever your requests are, let them be known to God. and then rest. Because the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's okay to say what your needs are, but wait for him to do it. Rest with the understanding that his solution may be a bit different than ours. But the directions he gives will be better than we conjure up. Because he does a better job at running our lives than we do. I don't know about you, but I could screw my life up pretty easily. But if I wait upon him, the directions he gives will be better than we conjure up, leading to a deeper relationship with him, leading to deeper relationship with each other, leading with us becoming more and more of a family. You want to know what's going to draw people into this place? People are looking for a place where they can be accepted and loved as they are, without judgment. Just love people. Wait upon him. And the peace that we wait upon him for the answers we need. And we do that through prayer, through reading the Word of God, through fasting, through whatever, through meditating, through just sitting there. As I was putting this together, Michelle sent me a message yesterday morning, which I didn't see till late last night. And I responded to her this morning. I asked her to share it. So, Michelle?
What am I sharing?
The one you sent me yesterday morning.
The one I sent you, okay. Because I had that other one and I was confused. Okay.
Pardon?
I'm sharing the word that I sent to him.
Do you have it? Okay.
I don't know. I was... I'm sorry, Gary, I was confused, and I thought you wanted me to share it together. I wasn't sure how that worked. Yeah, I think you better give me your phone. Oh, here it is, Gary.
Okay.
It's my scribble book. Sorry about this. This is a word God gave me when I was praying for the pastor in the church today. Be prepared for redirection. Press in, press on, push through to my promises. You are closer than you think, closer than you know. Worship me in the house of praise. I am the vine. All relationships begin with me. The branches of grapes are only as strong as they are firmly attached to me. I am the vine. Focus your love and attention on me. Draw near. Press in. Press on. Push through. You are closer to your promises than you know. And then he gave me John 15:5.
This is the wait upon him. Abide in him. So I ask this question. Are we content where we are? The worship team wants to come forward. Or do we want more? Are we content with what God has given us? Or do we want more? Are we content with our joy level that we live in? Or do we want more? Are we content with the relationships God has given us? Or do we want more? Are we content with the maturity level that we have? Or do we want more? If we want more, I challenge you to join me, to join Terry and I, Baker, and the rest of us, in the days ahead to wait on God. And I also encourage you that as he speaks to you, to share those things with us, because it will encourage others. Amen? Amen.